It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are.
Hello, Swiggies. Oh my gosh, my voice. All right, welcome to another episode of Swift and Swigs with Sibs. I am arriving here with a scratchy post-cold voice. Sam, what are you arriving to the podcast studio with today?
With a beautiful face, as always, Rachel.
We are in, we're having a really great episode ahead of us, and the weather is cooperating. It's been a while, Sam, since you and I have chatted about the weather. That was our thing for a little while.
And that's funny. I was going to bring up the weather too, but you're doing it.
Well, we're diving right into our, Sad Girl Autumn Fall, playlist with today's, title track, Red. And the weather just decided to be, I'm going to be cold and dreary, you know, dark gray, all alone vibes. The tree right outside my window is just starting to just hint at a little bit of red right before she loses it all. So it's been raining all day. It's great.
I'm in the same boat as you are. We are geographically in different locations, but it's dreary, it's so cloudy, and in fact, it's a little bit snowy.
What? That's weird. That's
best. It's snowy up high in the mountains surrounding Fairplay, Colorado.
I mean, that's kind of cozy. It's cozy. We're cozy. Always,
it's cozy for sure. I'm wearing my long sleeves. The first snow on the mountaintops is always a very exciting day. The first snow of the season, I should say. And that's today. I woke up and there's snow on the mountaintops. So here we are recording a fall song.
Yeah.
Is it fall?
It's technically not yet. Yeah. But you know what? Whatever. So
actually, this episode will be coming out when it is officially the first day of fall.
There we go. We are ready for fall. We're bringing it to you, even if both of our seasons are kind of weird. So Sam, I have this category, Taylor Tea Time, on my list, and then I have a big question mark. Is there anything going on in the Swiftie world that we need to chat about?
To my knowledge, there is not, but there is another universe where there is a lot going on, and I want to talk about that.
Please do.
And that would be Olivia Rodrigo's new album,
Yes, Guts. Indeed.
We have it. We've been listening to it for a few days. And there is, it fits in the Taylor Swift realm in a way, depending on how you look at it. So let's just go right into our new shit, Rach.
Let's do.
I'm assuming we've got the same new shit this week.
Sure do, yeah. I mean,
and that would,
we might have the same category.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious, since we've both been listening to the new Guts album by Olivia Rodrigo, if we have, did you come with a favorite song or one of the songs that you're, really into?
Yeah, I have a top three. Want to do top three?
Let's do, top three. Okay, yeah, you go.
Because here's the thing. The album as a whole, I think, is fantastic. It's hard to pick a favorite. I just want to do a top three. Can we do a top three? We can narrow it down to top three, right?
I'm going to make you go first then.
Okay, my top three, I don't have an order yet. They're not ranked. Okay. They're just three of my favorite songs. I got to lead off with Get Him Back.
Okay. That's so fun. Yeah.
Such a fun song. What I like a lot about this album and Olivia Rodrigo as a whole, she is not afraid to self-sabotage in a way or self-deprecate and call out her flaws, but in a really cheeky, fun, rock star kind of way. And Get Him Back is a great example of that. Do I love him? Do I hate him? I guess it's up and down. If I had to choose, I would say it right now. It's so fun. It's like a rock anthem. So yeah, Get Him Back is fantastic. I've got to put Bad Idea Right in my top three.
Yeah.
And I didn't, when I first heard Bad Idea Right, this was what, a month ago, we talked about it on the pod. I knew it was great, but never did I think it would be the top three of the album for me. But I just love it. I guess my third one is Pretty Isn't Pretty.
Ooh.
I love the sound of that song very, very much. The sound of the album as a whole reminds me of like a little bit 90s grunge sort of with some modern flair to it. I love it all. But those are my top three. Rachel, what do you got?
Well, I just like any Taylor Swift album or song list, my opinions will change constantly. Yeah. I think my favorite song of the whole album is Vampire. I just still adore that song. Even listening to all the other songs, I was like, this song just is a serotonin hit for me every single time. Bloodsucker, fame fucker, bleeding me dry like a goddamn vampire. And actually, there's like a bunch of songs on this album that do that for me. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to think about why that is, and I think I love a song with musical contrast. I've mentioned that before.
You have. Yeah, this is becoming a theme.
This is something I'm learning about myself, that I love a song where it's one thing and then it shifts and it just like takes you by surprise. So Vampire does that for me. I'm going to give Bad Idea Right number two, I think, because it's so much fun. Like, this is an album that I was just loving dancing around and like making a fool of myself. And that's like what it feels like to me.
Yes.
I want to be young again and getting out all my like feelings.
I also feel like this album, listening to it, makes me feel a little old.
See, but it makes me feel young. Like, it makes me remember being young.
Which is good. I just realized that I am far away from 19, which is totally Olivia Rodrigo.
Right.
But that's great that it makes you feel young. That should be, the objective.
And here's why, and you mentioned this, I think it's giving 90s so much, so I'm going to give Get Him Back as my number three. I was actually going to talk about that one today. If I had to pick any song, I was like, that's the one I want to talk about. Because when I listened to that song, I was like, what is this reminding? Like, I was getting such nostalgia listening to that song, and I couldn't name it. So I went to the Googs. Gosh, the internet is amazing.
Sure is.
And I was like, what does this song sound like? Of course, somebody asked that question on Reddit, and then there were answers, the song that, like, people gave a number of different songs it sounded like, but for me, I was like, yep, that's the one, was Loser by Beck. My time is a piece of wax falling on a termite who's choking on the
splinters. So I could fix it. Oh.
That was my 90s grunge, like, was on my list of 90s grunge. Like, I remember sitting in the car with my friend Madeline when she would come pick me up when I lived a block from the high school. But of course, like, you don't walk to high school when you're a sophomore.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Or a junior. So I think I was a junior in high school, and Madeline came to pick me up, and she's listening to Beck in her car. And I was like, ooh, what's this? And I like, so I have memories of Beck, and Loser was one of them. And it, there's so much like that. It's got this like, da 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 da, like sound at the beginning until it like gets into the chorus. It's so great. So
yeah.
I did. I agree with you with the like self-deprecatingness of this album in such a like, and this is some of the stuff we're getting from Taylor Swift too later in her career. So it's interesting how I feel like Olivia is tapping into that a little bit earlier in her maturity, I think.
Yeah, well, and she did a little bit of it on her first album, Sour, too.
Totally.
But this one is, like, kind of way more all in. I just think that she embraces who she is and her mistakes, if you will, and sings about it in such a fun way. And just hats off to a sophomore album is really hard for a lot of new artists, especially one who was as big as Olivia Rodrigo. All eyes will be on her for this sophomore album. And I think she pulled out all the stops and it was a massive success for her. We'll see, you know, in terms of like career success, what that does for her and like nominations and awards and such. Which brings me to a point I have. I'm assuming that this album will get put in the running for Grammys of next year, which will also be featuring Taylor Swift's Midnights, of which I can only imagine will win X amount of awards.
Sure.
So I just can't wait to watch the Grammys next year with Olivia Rodrigo and Taylor Swift, and Miley Cyrus had an album in there. And who else is like an icon that put out Beyonce's Renaissance was last year, I suppose.
Last year, yeah.
Anyways, I can't wait to dive more into this album. And yeah, maybe it'll be some of my new shit weeks ahead as I get deeper into certain songs. But yeah, that's all I've got.
I think it's actually, that's a great album to kind of introduce what our song is of the week anyway, because the album itself covers a lot of emotions. And our song this week, let's let you introduce it, does touch on those type of like all over the place emotions. Go ahead, Sam. What are we talking about this week for Swift and Swigs?
Right on. Because it is fall, I had to go into Taylor's most iconic autumn album, which of course is Red. And then I thought about, well, which song of the 30 from Red Taylor's version do I choose? And then it just hit me. You gotta do this, the title track. It's gonna be Red. So that's the song of the week. And it's been good because I've never attached myself to this song before. I've always just heard it and let it go. And let it go. and I know that it's a fan favorite song. I mean, gosh, can I say that about every song?
I mean, there's a fan following to every song. But there are just some songs that I don't know if anyone's doing that about, like, Girl at Home, right?
I don't know. I love that song.
Did you?
Apparently, everybody hates it.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But so Red is the song of the week, and it's been fun for me to sort of research it a little bit further than I've ever allowed myself to before. And we definitely get some autumnal references in here, so it's very fitting on your and I's respective dreary and cold autumn days.
Indeed.
To do this song. Of course, we are wearing our fall, looks like you've got some red. Mine's like auburn in color.
Yeah, mine's like red. Mauve-ish red.
Yeah, mauve. Love it.
We're burning red today.
It should be noted that red is your favorite color.
Indeed.
That's one thing I know to be true about you. So let's get into the swigs of this. This could go either way.
Yeah.
I had a lot of thoughts about my cocktail this week, and I started to overthink it a little bit.
I don't do that ever.
The whole song is like filled with metaphors.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought, wouldn't that be fun? But I realized at one point, it was literally last night, I'm falling asleep and I'm like losing sleep because I still haven't decided what cocktail to make. I decided to not overcomplicate it. So I made a cocktail that is truly just burning red in both its color and its taste, and it's filled with intense emotions, mainly intense flavors.
Okay.
So I'm calling it, I don't want to call it burning red, right? That's like so obvious, and maybe that's what you called yours.
No, I did not. I'll give that one to you. I wanted to as well, but I'm going to give you that title. I have a different one.
Okay. Is there a better...
I mean, Burning Red is a great title of a cocktail. Like,
it is.
Just go with it, Sam. Don't overthink it. Go with it.
All right. Yeah, don't overthink it. Okay. So it's Burning Red. Now, I borrowed something from you from two episodes ago.
Love it.
I wanted the cocktail to taste like Big Red, the gum, which is that like hot, spicy cinnamon flavor.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, I used Fireball.
Yes, you did.
Which I rolled my eyes at when you used that a couple of
weeks ago. Who would have thought we'd have Fireball show up in cocktails two episodes already?
But it definitely works for this.
Yeah, it really does.
All right, so we've got the Fireball in here to give it that cinnamon burning flavor. And then I wanted Campari because of the color.
Yep.
And of course, it's a beautiful flavor as well. And then I added Fashionola syrup, which is a rich red syrup that we use here at work. And it is made with so many different kinds of fruits. It's often used in like a rum punch and tropical drinks. Fashionola syrup is made with like guava, passion fruit, and cherry, and other red fruits, dragon fruit. I can't remember them all right now, but it's very red, it's sweet, it's bold, it's intense. And then just to give it a little bit more of a burning flavor, I added some habanero bitters into here. So
yep,
it's burning.
Burning red.
Very red.
I love it.
So, cheers to that.
Cheers to your burning red. So, I also did not want to overthink this cocktail. And this song, as you've mentioned, gives me fall flavors. And my favorite line, I decided to go with a line and base my cocktail off that line. My favorite line in this entire song is... like the colors in autumn so bright just before they lose it all. So this is my colors in autumn.
Oh, I love that line too. Like the colors in autumn so bright just
before they lose it all. I'm bringing you the colors in autumn. I wanted to touch on all the colors and flavors of autumn. So whenever I think of the song Red, but the entire album Red, I think of red wine. So I wanted to incorporate red wine. I've got some Lambrusco, which is a sparkling red wine.
I used that for the Right Where You Left Me.
Ah, okay.
Cocktail. Yeah, yes. And I had never had Lambrusco before.
Same.
But now I'm into it.
Same. So Lambrusco is, I think, a really great wine to consider for if you want some sparkling brightness, but that the red wine richness. So I've got some Lambrusco. I wanted some orange. So we're doing like a sparkling orange. You can go Fanta. You can go like something other sort of orange drink, Orange Crush, whatever. Like go with something orange and sparkling. You can also get like a orange
like sparkling water or whatever.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be
or
sweet.
San Pellegrino. Like
you want Pellegrino. That's what I'm thinking of. You want you could do an orange San Pellegrino, just something like that. A blood orange soda would also be nice too.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little bit of bourbon. Not very much. A little bit of bourbon, but so that gives you like those colors of autumn. You've got the reds, the oranges, the browns, and then I just wanted that like the flavors of autumn, which is cinnamon to me. So it's got a cinnamon sugar cocktail rim. Yum. And I garnished it with an orange, and it really does, like, there's like an essence of cinnamon, but with the like richness of the other flavors. And
ours are not too far off with that, like, cinnamon, rich red cinnamon flavors.
Yeah.
Well, cheers.
Cheers to our burning red cocktails.
Cheers to that. Cheers to red. Cheers to Taylor Swift. Do we ever do that? Have we ever just said cheers to Taylor?
I don't think we have.
Who are we if we've never done that?
Oh my gosh.
On our podcast?
Are we at 37? Episode 37?
No, this is 38,
I keep forgetting. I need to write this at the top of my notes every time. Episode 38, and here we are toasting to you, Taylor Swift.
So we are going to break down the spirit of the song. We are going to break down the musical mixology of the song. And then we are going to do the Taylor Swift with a twist, the lyrics of the song. So starting off with the spirit of this song, what is the vibe, the essence, the general theme of the song Red? Taylor wrote this song reflecting on a past relationship and all of the emotions that that relationship brought out in her. But she uses very specific metaphors and similes to describe what the emotions of that relationship were. It's a very smart song. She wrote it alone, so this is all her own ideas, and I love that about this song. I also noted that apparently she wrote this song. We have information on the day that she wrote this song, which was September 8th, 2011, which I wanted to bring up because that was just a couple of days ago. So yet another good reason that we're covering this song. It's like its anniversary. That's the main spirit of the song. I should know this, and Mother, if you are listening, forgive me for asking this, but I do need to remind myself what a metaphor is versus a simile versus an analogy. So if we could just kind of touch on that real quick, I think that would help me get through this episode.
Well, I am your fellow writer correspondent here, so I'd be happy to step in and say that, because I wrote down that my favorite part of this entire song, I call this the poet's dream. This song is filled with similes and metaphors and so much contrast, and that, like, just sends tingles down my body. Like, this is like my favorite thing to talk about, to write. I love using metaphors and similes. Okay, so what is a metaphor? What is a simile? A simile is anytime you say like or as.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we probably get a lot more simile in this song than we get metaphor. But there's some.
So hit me with an example of, in this song, a simile.
Loving him is like driving a new Maserati.
Got it. So it's leading it off is a simile.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm trying to see if I can find a good example of a metaphor.
To me, a metaphor is like describing a situation that represents and symbolizes something else.
Well, it's as easy as if she had said loving him is driving a new Maserati down a dead end street. It's just saying is. So okay. I think a simile is like, it's like making it a little bit more like, okay, we know it's not actually driving a new Maserati. It's like that.
Okay.
But a metaphor is replacing. And you could write a whole entire song. I mean, Invisible String is a metaphor. Like,
how much time do we have to talk about all the metaphors in Taylor Swift lyrics? I mean, Invisible String to name but many.
The metaphor in this song that I'm staring at right now, loving him was red. And that is a metaphor, because she didn't use like or as. She said it is red. And I actually think that for Taylor Swift, like, that's very telling. Like, that is how she sees her. She really does see the colors. And
which we've discussed that she is synesthetic, which I can also relate to. And synesthesia is when you correlate colors to non-colored items, such or abstract things like emotions or numbers. For me, I days of the week and months, I have a lot of synesthesia. I always picture a color when it comes to a certain day of the week or a month. And we've known Taylor to sing a lot about colors and what colors represent metaphorically to her. But this song is purely, truly using her synesthesia. But it's not only about colors. We get a lot of colors in the chorus, but the rest of the song, the verses, uses other metaphors and similes to describe what this love was like.
Right.
So
I think it's also important for us to note the significance of her choosing this title as the cover of her album, because this album itself has been labeled as kind of being all over the place emotionally. I mean, every mm-hmm. song goes back and forth, and not just emotionally. It's all over the place style-wise. So
and this musically.
Was, mm-hmm. Right. And genre. Musical yeah. genre. This was when she was straddling. This was she was like swaying back and forth when she was kind of tiptoeing and transitioning into her next album. This like the and choosing Red as the song to represent the entire album, I think, was really brilliant, because it was her saying that I recognize that a relationship, and she calls this album, this is the only one she's ever actually called a breakup album, her personally. And we could probably go back and forth as to what exactly. So, she's not coming out and saying that yet, but we have many arguments for and against that. But that this is her saying, like, these are a range of emotions that you're going to experience in Red, and it covers everything from passion to pain. And then that is the whole message of this song, I think, the spirit, if you will, since that's where we are. But it's also mm-hmm. the big spirit of the album as a whole. So I think that's really an important one to name and state as you listen to the entire Red album.
Do you think red is her favorite color? Has she ever commented on her favorite color?
Gosh, that's a great question. I don't know.
It's got to be because of her classic lips and the album and the era as a whole. And the fact that she comments that red to her means all of the emotions. Yeah. So, and she's expresses her emotions in song a lot. Right. So,
and she's one who likes to feel. Like, she likes to feel passion and pain. And she's not afraid mm-hmm. of it. And honestly, girl, same. Like, that. Maybe that's why I like Red so much, because it does represent a range of experiences and emotions.
It is one of your favorite albums, right?
It really is. And I actually have a really... I'm sure I've said this before. But I think Red... I really have strong memories of realizing, oh, there's so much more to this person, this artist, that I have discounted. And I think it was this album that made me realize, I think I could like some of her country songs, and I need to mm-hmm. learn more about that. Like, I really credit that. And I, of course, I did not experience Red until November 9th. Is that correct, when that album came out? Was it November 9th?
No, it was 9th? The 12th.
12th. Okay.
2021. Yeah.
November 12th of 2021. I really did not listen to like maybe a day or two before, but like mostly I waited until I got Taylor's version. And so I just like have a strong memory of Taylor's version Red album, and I really, really love it. That's why I'm really excited that we're doing this today. So let's get into it. We've hinted at the music and how this song or this album as a whole was going back and forth. How would you describe the musical genre of Red, the song
it's like trying to be country, but it's not very country. And it kind of wants to be pop, but it's not very pop. It's a little bit rocky, but it's not super rocky. So I feel like, you mentioned this, it touches upon these genres of music. And we don't need to necessarily categorize it into a very specific genre, but I do like to compartmentalize music. So it is a bit of a struggle for me to musically understand this song. It sounds great. It is... has a good beat to it. There's subtle instrumentation, like the banjo does play a prominent part in this song, as do the drums. The part I struggle with is the most important part of the song is when she sings Red, but I want her to be singing Red from a passionate part of her soul, but instead we get this like computerized production of her voice singing Red, and I'm so curious to know what you think about that, because I personally do not love that. Like, what was the choice?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm like stumped. I didn't even like note that. That's, I don't know why I didn't like pick. And you know why? I think because my favorite part of the song is when she goes, "Burn it red!" And that part is not syncopated. Burn it red. I don't think I paid attention mm-hmm. to the other parts where it was. So this is coming off, this is off the cuff. This is me saying, I think she's still trying to understand it at first until she gets to like the explanation of like, it's burning red. I'm not burgundy, question mark. I don't know.
And you know, it could just be like a choice that was made in the studio or in the editing room. Because she, again, with this album, wanted to play around with pop and, and like computer-produced music. But the choice for the most major part where she says red in the chorus is interesting. I was stretching to kind of justify it by thinking that by kind of computer-generating her vocals there, it might give the impression that it's a memory, which is what this song is. It's not like live in the moment singing it. It's sort of like a cut and broken. But I might be overthinking that.
But see, now that doesn't make sense if that was the choice, because what she's whole point of her singing in this song is that red is so strong, it's not going away. Like, it is burning. It is on fire. It is not just a memory. It is literally still there in my mind, and it's all I see. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, Swiggies, please drop us a line and comment on your thoughts on that the choice of production there. Because, I struggle with it. I just don't love it. I do love the other parts of the song. I like the track. I like the instrumentation. But I just can't really get behind that choice.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I love the song so much I didn't think about being critical on that part. But I think that's good. So I think this is a good time for us to bounce right into the lyrics with a twist and find out if some of these lyrics might make a little bit more sense than the musical choices.
Yes. Okay. So there's a lot of lyrics here. We could break down line for line. I definitely think we need to start with this very first line. I love this line so very much. Of course, the line is, loving him is like driving a new Maserati down a dead-end street. Immediately, we get simile, right?
Yep.
You can just picture what that would be like. The Maserati, of course, being a really expensive, fast car. The whole point of you getting a Maserati is to let a rip down a long street. and have fun and feel the rush. Yes. And that was the love. It was like driving a Maserati. It's exciting and such a rush. But if it's a dead-end street, then it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's going to come to an abrupt stop.
Yeah. And deadly destructive. Yeah. Exactly. You can immediately picture it. It's followed by the next line, which is faster than the wind, passionate as sin, ending so suddenly. That line, passionate as sin, really stuck out to me. And I was like thinking about that and how like maybe that's connected to the phrase like sin of passion, which is just heat of the moment. And you can almost like feel that this relationship, and I'm going to get further into this later, but like I think right away we're learning that this was not a relationship that she pondered about, and like this is not necessarily an enchanted where she was like, oh, look at that guy over there, I'm wondering about him, I'm thinking about him, I wonder what he thinks about me, whatever, but this is actually a relationship that just like boom happened, and it was hot right away. And it like caught her by surprise. It was like going from 0 to 100 that probably a Maserati can do.
Totally.
And it was the heat of the moment. Didn't have time to think about it. But you're going with it anyway. So.
It's definitely Jake Gyllenhaal, right?
Is it? I guess.
I absolutely think so.
Yeah.
A lot of the songs on Red are. And what we know from a lot of the Jake-specific songs is that it was very passionate and very intense, but it ended out of the blue for her, and she could not stop thinking about him after it ended.
Well, and we're already connecting, like, Burning Red and Red Scarf of All Too Well. So, yes, I think
autumn leaves falling down.
Right. Like, I think we're getting, yes, some definite Easter eggs connecting the two. All right.
I also love this next part because it's a great representation of how she must have felt gut-wrenched. Is that the proper thing to say here?
Yeah.
Loving him is like trying to change your mind once you're already flying through the free fall. You can't. It's too late.
No.
You can't change your mind once you jump out of the airplane.
Right.
That's what she's representing here is loving him was like jumping out of an airplane and feeling like, again, that rush and the thrill. But once you've done that, there's no going back up to the airplane, of course, right?
Right.
Like, and so I think what she's saying here is the whole aspect of the relationship, loving him. And she does say this a lot, loving him encompasses the start of the relationship when I think she fell immediately in love, all the way through the end of the relationship and even post relationship when she was still loving him.
Yeah.
And so loving him, when she sings loving him, isn't just the good moments. It was the whole relationship, the good and the bad. And the flying through the free fall, once she realized that she was going to get hurt, she was already zooming straight down to the ground and she could not change her mind. It was far too late. Her heart was already deep into it.
I immediately thought of Gold Rush. Mm-hmm. Love feels like flying till the bone crush, falling feels like flying till the bone crush, right? And
falling feels like flying. Well, is it? I don't remember which comes first, falling or flying, but it's the same sentiment.
No, it's falling because falling in love.
Okay.
So it's just like, yeah. Falling or loving.
It feels like flying, but then
till the
your bone
crush. Yeah. So, so it's just like hinting that the, like flying through the free fall is like she's already flying. She's already like in the loving, knowing that the bone crush is there and you just can't help it.
Lead us off into this, that this is like your cocktail is the line here. So talk about it for us, please.
Friggin'
so good.
Love this line. It is.
I friggin' love it.
I mean, and it friggin' loves me back. It's like, okay. It does. Nothing. I mean, I think honestly, if you're someone from California or Florida or Texas where you don't really get a fall leaf color changing, then it might be harder to understand that. But that the thing that's incredible about changing leaves is that you know what's next. Like,
yeah.
Death and winter and cold and dreary, like, all of that is next. You know that. You don't get fall leaves until right before that moment.
But and it's the most beautiful thing.
It's incredible.
Of all time.
It's like going out with like the biggest bang. Like, mm-hmm. It is so amazing. And you could think, oh no, the leaves are turning colors. That means winter's coming. But you don't, because you're like, no. Oh my God, the colors. And you mm-hmm. just like, before they lose it all, like, it's like that is exactly what happens in the, like that's what she's saying. Like, she's going to lose it all. She's going to lose this entire relationship. But dang, those colors look amazing.
Yes.
They are
yes.
burning red. And literally the trees will be burning red. Like, it's.
Mm. Yeah. And I wonder too, if she's implying that when this love was so bright, like the colors in autumn, if she did know that those leaves metaphorically would fall off the tree and it would be winter and cold and dreary. Or if now that she's reflecting on it, she's like, oh, now that I think about it, those were just fall leaves right before they died. You know, if this was in retrospect, yes, but if she knew in that moment too that it was going to end in death, but she couldn't help but awe over the beauty of it.
I think the relationship happened so fast that the falling to the losing it all was such a shortened amount of time.
Yeah.
That she it was all kind of blends together for her because it was just like that. And the relationship was so emotional, like she said, it was passionate and it was pain, and that's all she sees. Like, she sees them both at the exact same time.
I think what you're referencing is a quote that she gave, I think, in an interview, where she said she was describing what the color red meant for her. And I don't have the quote pulled up. I don't know if you do.
Oh, wait. I think this is the line you want me to say. To me, the red emotions are the most powerful ones, in the good side and the bad side. On one side, you have affection, infatuation, love, warmth. On the other side, you have anger, jealousy, frustration, miscommunication, all the horrible ones. But I think no matter what side of it you're on, you're feeling the most amount of emotion you could possibly feel if you're feeling a red emotion. And I've always referred to those kinds of relationships as red relationships. So yes, I think you're absolutely right. Like I don't know if she knew, but it was all the same. Like, she was, it was passion and then it was pain. It was amazing and then it was horrible, and that's all the same color to her. Mm-hmm. So it was all red.
Which leads us right into the chorus.
Right into our chorus.
Where we get more specific colors here.
So she mentions other colors that she feels, other emotions. Mm-hmm. Losing him was blue. There's a metaphor, Sam. That's not a simile.
Yes.
Because we don't get like or as. Losing him was blue like I'd never known. Missing him was dark gray, all alone. So, there were those emotions, but those aren't the strong ones, and those aren't the reason that she can't let this relationship go.
Mm-hmm.
It's the red.
Yes.
It's the red that burns and doesn't go away.
Let's touch on this line. Forgetting him was like trying to know somebody you never met. That to me feels like a dream, a really frustrating dream when you're trying to run from something or you're trying to reach towards something, but your dream doesn't let you quite grasp what's in front of you or run from what's chasing you. Trying to forget somebody. What is she saying? Forgetting him was... Oh, sorry. It's like trying to know somebody that you've never met. It's like you're trying so hard to connect a memory and you feel... It's almost like it's at the tip of your tongue, but it will never come off of your tongue. It's just like at the forefront of your brain. And that process can be so frustrating, where you feel like you're so close, but you will never achieve it. And that is how she's trying to forget him. Like that, I feel the frustration and the anxiety that would that comes from that.
Yeah, and it's like, this is another example, and she does this a lot in this song, is like contrasting forgetting with knowing. And those seem like two opposite things, and she's making them the same in a sense. Yeah. Like, she's like the way that it is to forget is the same way that it feels to know, even if they're like two opposite feelings. And I think that we get that a lot with like we had at the beginning with like driving a new Maserati, something new and fast and fancy, with something that's dead and like those are like two opposite.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get a little bit more later as we go through, but I just thought that was such an interesting thing. The other thing is, Sam, I don't mean to bring in Mr. Owl City.
Oh, no, not again with this dude.
I know. I think you thought I was good.
He's made so many appearances in our episodes. I know where you're going with this because I read this too. I was going to just brush past it. But
I know you did. I knew you were, but I just can't. I can't not mention Owl. Good old Owl.
Fill us in.
Apparently Owl City, I mean, most people call him Owl City, whatever his name is.
Rachel famously refers to it as Owl City because that's the vibes that this guy gives off because he's such an owl.
So he tweeted when we once upon a time had Twitter, trying to forget.
Hang on. Yes, he tweeted. I'll let you finish. But
I'll let you finish.
He tweeted before the song was written, mm-hmm. like months before the song mm-hmm. was written. I think that's important. What did he tweet?
Trying to forget someone you love is like trying to remember someone you never knew.
That's basically the line that Taylor Swift wrote in this song.
Exactly.
I feel like he needs to be credited as a songwriter.
I know.
Mm-hmm. 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 We know that Taylor was influenced by Al from Owl City. What's his name? Adam, maybe? No, whatever. He's Al to us. If you haven't listened to our Enchanted episode, what are you doing? And episode 38. You gotta listen to that one.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is essentially the lyric that she wrote, and I guess he's influential to her in this album too. I think they should just get together at this point.
We're not manifesting that.
Now that Joe is out of the picture, I can move on to somebody else.
Oh my gosh.
I just want her to be happy. And if that's with Owl City, then by all means, fandom would lose their shit. Not be mad, but like everyone would just like their minds would be exploding.
It's the same way of exploding of seeing Taylor Lautner come back on stage.
It's very similar. Yes.
It's like, no, that's wild vibes. But I do think this is interesting that I think sometimes I would say, speaking personally as a writer, sometimes you see lines and you're just like, oh, that's actually really good. And then it like seeps into your mind, but then you forget where you saw it. And mm-hmm. so I imagine her like saying, oh, I love that line. I'm going to like think about that. And then she forgot where she saw it. And then she put it in the song. And then later on, somebody was like, wait, didn't Owl City guy do that? And she's like, damn it. I'm not going to acknowledge it because that dang guy keeps following me everywhere.
Alrighty. Okay, well, let's move into the second verse here.
Yeah, so we closed out that chorus. Moving into this next verse. This is where she's kind of playing around a little bit more with when she was, like, giving different ways, like losing him, missing him was this, losing him was this, forgetting him was this. So she's continuing on with that. What I notice here in this entire verse is I feel like it's kind of walking us through what happened in the relationship.
Yes, yes. Which she does a lot in a second verse. In a song where she's telling a story, we get this a lot in the second verse.
Yeah,
where we start to get some tea.
Yes, she's a little bit, she's opening up more and telling us a little bit more details about.
But we still don't get specifics because she's still using metaphors and similes. So we're not understanding quite exactly what happened. We get the gist because she's choosing to use other things to represent what it is.
Right. Yes. Right. Now, that's interesting, though, that you mentioned that, like, she's still holding back a little bit about explaining what this is. And I think I'm like thinking now about that. Like it's like she's working so hard for you to understand this very passionate, burning experience that she's having. And it's like she's still working through what it actually means to her as she's going through all these things. Like, well, it's like this. Well, actually, no, it's like this. And actually, no, it's like this. Like, she's like trying to land on exactly what it is. And as we get on through the song, I think it's like when she finally just screams, this is a live realization, Sam.
Yeah.
So I'm just working this out.
I'm also right there with you.
But I you know where we were getting, like, it's red, and just like, it's like she, maybe that's her saying, I don't know, it's like, it's red. You know, it's like she's like stumbling because she can't, she's like, it's like this. No, it's like, but see, it's like this.
It's like she can't quite put her finger on
exactly what it is.
Because it's until, so many things.
It's so many things until the very end when she's like, but it's just burning red! Sorry, I just shouted in the
podcast. Hopefully you turned your volume down right before that.
No, I did not.
In your earbuds.
Work on that in the edit room.
No, not you, but listeners.
So I mean, maybe that's what she's doing here. She's like, it's like all these things and it's really hard for me to land on it. All I can say is it's burning red, and that's big for me.
Yeah.
All right. That was a big introduction into the second verse.
I don't need to go into any specifics for the second verse, except for the crossword line, which this song is like Taylor's being really smart and poetic, and the crossword line is a classic Taylor thing where she just kind of throws in a campy, cheesy little line there. And and this is coming from somebody who, I love crossword puzzles. Grandpa is my inspiration for doing crosswords. So I like that there's a nod to one of my and Grandpa's favorite pastimes. But I don't know if it's her best simile.
Oh my gosh, I really love it.
Okay, well, then tell me why.
Okay, well, I mean, I feel like I need to back up a little bit because I need to get us there as to why that matters so much. So touching him was like realizing all you ever wanted was right there in front of you. This is her saying, like, I didn't have time to pine over this guy or like wonder. He was right there. He was like in my life. It was there right away. And memorizing him was as easy as knowing all the words to your old favorite song. Another incredible line there. I do love that. Like, there we have connecting memorizing with knowing, because memorizing is like when you don't know something, but you want to. But knowing a favorite song is like you already knew it. So, like, that's another great example of she's got, like, these contrasts. Like, you're, like, so into somebody, even though they already feel familiar to you. All right, so we've got this, like, okay, this is a passionate relationship. You feel like you already know the guy. This is, like, really, really getting into it. But now we're starting to fight. Fighting it with him was like trying to solve a crossword, realizing there's no right answer. But that's because the whole point of a crossword puzzle, the whole point of doing it is to finish it, right? I don't know too many people who do crossword puzzles that don't have the wish and goal to actually finish it, right?
It's definitely the wish and goal, but I frequently have to put them down and I never come back to them.
But like, if you realize there actually wasn't a right answer, if you realized, wait, this crossword puzzle is tricking me all along, there actually isn't an answer, there's nothing more frustrating than that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, what is the point? Like, what is the point of doing it if there actually isn't an answer?
And that was the fighting aspect.
And that's what she was getting at. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, fighting with him was that she was never going to be right because he always was. Perhaps?
No, but they were not going to ever get along. So what is the point? Or this relationship isn't going anywhere. If we get even more simple, like, there's no way this relationship is going to work. There's no answer to this relationship. There's no resolution to this relationship. It's not going anywhere. What is the point? Now they're fighting. Now we have regret. And regret usually comes from, like, you regret, like, I regret him all the time, or yep. you regret what you did. Like, you shouldn't have fallen in love in the first place, but, like, that's, but for her, regretting him was like wishing you never found out that love could be the source song. So it was love that she regrets in the first place. Like,
right.
that, not like what she did or what they did, but like just falling in love at all, because that's the part that's hard.
I think she's in denial if she regrets that, like, ever falling in love, because that this has allowed her to, like, dig deep into these, like, emotions, which are just, like, it's the human experience that she's having, and then she's able to express it in these songs and this, like, artistry that she wouldn't have had otherwise had she not actually fallen so deep into it.
That is what you, the realization you come to after therapy. But before therapy, it is burning red. Yeah. Like, that's the point, is, like, when she's not in a, like, a good mental health state, all she sees is burning red.
Yeah.
And that's what the regret is for mm-hmm. her.
Yeah.
So we get another chorus, the same thing, and then we get it go into a bridge.
But before the bridge, though, the end of the chorus does end differently than the first one, and this is the time that we actually, I can get behind her singing
yep.
the word red, because she's really expressing it now, and it's not computer generated at this point. Oh, red, burning red.
Which does, I think, maybe fit with our theory that, like, it took her until now to kind mm-hmm. of, like, realize exactly what she meant by red.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remembering him comes in flashbacks and echoes. For some reason, I was like, echoes. That feels like a word she's used a lot. It is a word she has used a lot. We get echoes of your name, actually, is the most frequent.
Wow.
So we get echoes in Enchanted, echoes of your name in Enchanted, and Don't Blame Me in Treacherous. We
wow.
also get echoes.
Did you use the internet for this?
Of course I did.
Okay, I mean, either
There's
way,
a,
it's great, but
I will,
I'd be really impressed if you pulled that out of your brains.
No, no, no. There's a website that will, like, link Taylor
yes.
Swift and a word and see how
yes.
many different times. So that's, so yes.
I've used it all too well.
and then Delicate is another one. Echoes of Your Footsteps on the Stairs is another way that she's, like, remembering. But what's interesting is, like, echoes are repeat and reverberate. Even flashbacks are just like snippets, but they don't linger. And even like an echo, it like comes back, but it's a little bit dampened, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she's saying that's not the part that's the burning red. Like, that's the part that tells her, like, it's, tell myself it's time now, gotta let go. All right, but we're not done.
Aren't we, though?
No. Do you want to be done? Sam wants to be done. Sam is done.
No, it's not that. I feel like this last part is just repetition here.
Okay, we do get some repetition, but here's the importance of a repetition. So we close out this song with his love was like driving a new Maserati down a dead-end street. It's the exact first line of the beginning of the song. This is something that Taylor Swift does a lot,
mm-hmm.
where
yes.
she closes with the line that she opened with. Do you have any thoughts on that?
It's sort of like the song is her way of just feeling something and emoting and expressing and, like, not yelling, but, you know, just, like, really feeling. But then the end of the song, in this example especially, is, like, coming back down to earth and realizing it's still the way that it is, and there's nothing that's going to change from that.
Yeah, like, it's yes. Yes. I think she does it differently in different songs, and I think this
is an
example.
It does depend on the song, yes.
I do think this is an example of a song where, especially because of the way it's delivered slower and quieter than the beginning, and you hear it again, and now you're like, oh, now that you've explained all that, now that you've worked yourself through what Burning Red actually means, I see now why driving a Maserati down a dead-end street would be so hard. Like, I get it now.
Yeah.
And yet...
All right, I have a question.
Yeah.
Does Taylor Swift own a car? I mean, she's always being driven somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Do you think she, like, buys cars and, like, drives them around when no one's looking? Maybe she has a Maserati.
I'd like to think so. But stay away from those dead-end streets.
But I hope she's going down a circle loop of a road and not dead-end streets.
Oh, a circle loop. I like that. I like that for her. Sam, moving on from This Is Impossible, when I still see so many other songs or maybe colors in my head. So I need to pick next week's song. And I was thinking about how she mentioned at the beginning of this song that losing him was blue like she'd never known, as if she'd never known a blue guy. But we learn later that in another song where she says, damn, never seen that color blue. And so...
Whoa!
I think we need to transition into an era that really is blue, like she learns to know. And we're going to start that transition with the song, Isn't It Delicate?
Oh my God. You just blew my mind with that choice, Rachel. Yeah.
Isn't it?
I'm a little speechless right now because I am like Taylor sings about in this song, Red. I'm all over the place emotionally with that choice for next week. Ooh, so you're okay. Tripping me out right now.
Okay, great.
The only thing I'm going to say right now, other than yes, I'm excited to do that is our first track five we've ever done.
It is. Is it really?
I have just been waiting for one of us to drop a track five.
I didn't even plan on dropping track five, but this is great. This is time. We've mentioned, I mean, this would make 2 weeks in a row that we've mentioned Delicate. We're gonna break it down next week.
Oh gosh.
This is for the best.
I'm gonna start prepping for it. Okay. Swiggies, if losing us after listening to the podcast is blue like you've never known, and missing us is dark gray all alone, then we should probably let you know that all you've ever wanted is right there in front of you over on our social media platform. So be sure to follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Swift and Swigs Podcast. Subscribe to our channel on Spotify. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Give us all the love. We'd love to hear from you. Keep up the fun stuff, just as much fun as we're having.
It's great over there. We embarrass ourselves and we have a great time. So, cheers, Sam.
Cheers, Rach.
Cheers, Swiggies. Podcast with all of you is easy as knowing all the words to our favorite song. And I don't know the words to your favorite song. You have to.
I like can't hear you. It sounds like you just went underwater or something.
Oh, so, that's weird.
That was weird.
So
I don't know what you said, but cheers, I suppose. Okay. This might be the first time, maybe the second time, that I haven't finished my cocktail before the end of the episode.
I mean, it is like before noon. No, it's afternoon for you now.
Technically, it's afternoon, but I do have to work, so...